hear the word. It was waiting I've been. We spent 10 hours in the car driving 500 miles to get home.
Amen.
Got in at 5 o'clock. So we're interested in hearing.
Amen.
Are you interested in hearing?
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing. Right? So let's just sing, "Open the Eyes of My Heart," as Brother Aaron comes to bring the message unto us tonight. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see to you. I want to see. We'll just put forth a little effort. He'll be there. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And we are back from playing hooky. So we're here. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Y'all can be seated for a minute. I'm going to surprise you. I got a surprise for you. Come on, Adam. Adam won't sing tonight. So, and I don't know what key we're going to be in. You want to play? She said she didn't know what key either. She ain't no help. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We're going to try to sing this little song. Well, if you've been tired of losing life's war, you're searching for something worth fighting for, then join the army that's proved and tried. Oh yes, come on over to the winning side. So come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We've got the banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We won't be denied. So come on over to the winning side. Now we march through the fire, but we wouldn't burn, no, no. We marched through the water, oh, Pharaoh just wouldn't learn. And we marched through the lion's den, but old Daniel, he cried, these lions can't hurt me, I'm on the winning side. So come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We've got the banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We won't be denied. side. Yes, come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We've got the banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We won't be denied. So come on over to the winning side.
Amen. God's mighty army. Never lost the battle. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. We'll look into the scripture. We're going to look in Luke chapter 10. And Revelation chapter 12 tonight. And just speak a little thought on overcoming power. Because, you know, the Bible says that He gave us power.
Amen.
And we were given power.
Amen.
And so we have overcome. But, you know, the thing is, you know, everybody's looking to try to overcome. But you know what? You have overcome.
Right. Amen.
He overcome. Brother Bram said, and how can I overcome? He said, He overcome. So
right.
That's how you overcome.
Exactly.
You have the overcoming power.
Amen.
You know, I mean, you know, like I was talking about the last time, you know, you get around people that are so negative and everything, you can't stand to be around them. But I tell you what, you know, Brother Bram said, there's nothing negative in the Word. There's nothing in God. There's in the message. There's nothing negative. It's all positive.
Right.
God's absolutely, totally positive. So, you know, we have to be positive too.
Amen.
And so let's just bow our heads before we read the scripture, and then you can have your seats. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be in your house again, Lord, together with those of like precious faith, Lord. And we just pray tonight you just come and Lord, just anoint us to speak and have anoint the hearers tonight, Lord Jesus. And just, Lord, just let me get out of the way. Lord, as we realize we have a gift and Lord, it's if we can just get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that you can come and speak and Lord, the people can just receive from you. And it's not me because I'm inefficient, but Lord, you're everything and we just commit it to you. And Lord, we just pray for each one that has a need here tonight. Lord, whatever the needs may be, Lord, and Lord, for the bride around the world, Lord, Father, there's so many that are needy, Lord, you know, the ones that are on my heart and Lord, and I just pray that you just continue to be with them and minister to them in a special way. Lord, we just commit all things to you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 10, it says, and he said unto him, I beheld, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Right.
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, and thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. And it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens that ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. And I want to take a look at something here from the message, Satan's Eden, and just want to start here. Brother Branham is speaking in Satan's Eden, and he says, now we will notice the earth when God had it under control. Now when God had it under his control, then when Satan took over by rejecting the word of God, God one time had the earth under his control. He set it in its orbit. He put it, make it work. He done everything, had it in his control. And now we'll compare that with that after Satan took it in his control. You know, he took God 6,000 years to establish it, plant it with good seeds to bring forth everything after his kind. Everything must come forth of its kind. All of his seeds were good, and so it must bring forth after its kind. God took 6,000 years. And he says, and when it finally was made, finally arrived with his headquarters of the earth in a beautiful spot laying east of Eden called the Garden of Eden. God made the world's headquarters in the Garden of Eden in Egypt. Right at the east end of the garden was the headquarters. And then he says, and over the whole situation, he put his son and his son's wife over it. That's right. That's what God did. He put them in full control. They could speak to the winds and would cease to blow, and they would speak to the trees, and it would move from here to there. And the wolf and the lion and the wolf fed together, and the lamb lay down with them, and there was no evil. It was perfect peace, perfect harmony, everything in perfection. And when God had it under his control, and notice, he had his world, had all in operation. He had everything coming, everything eating, vegetation, nothing die, nothing to be ruined, nothing to be spoiled, nothing. It was just perfect. And over it all, he placed his beloved children, his son and his daughter, a husband and wife, to control it. God was so satisfied, he rested from all his works at the seventh day and hallowed the seventh day Sabbath for them. Because God looked over it all over, and he had 6,000 years in molding and fixing it out, making it come into existence, up the mountains up, making the volcanics push the mountains up, and the things that taken place in the eruptions, dried it off and fixed it the way he had it. It was a beautiful place, and there was nothing like it, the great paradises of God, the great dinosaurs and whatever more crawling through it. And the great animals, no harm in them. And they were just gentle as a little kitten. And there was nothing, no sickness, no sorrow, not one disease, germ on the earth. Oh, what a place. The great birds swinging from tree to tree. And Adam could call them by name. And they would fly on his shoulders and coo to him. Oh, what a wonderful place. Amen. God had. Right. So, you know, I wanted to kind of a lengthy reading, but I wanted to start there because, you know, When we look at the plan of God, you know, he had everything in perfection. He had it just the way he wanted it.
Right, yeah.
And you know, Brother Henry Green had a statement he used to say all the time. He said, God started his church the way he wanted it.
Right.
He wants his church the way he started it.
Right, right.
And you know, he said everything in perfection. He said it just the way he wanted it.
Right.
And you know, every star and every molecule in the world is still following the law of God.
Right, right, right.
And you know, when we look at things and in the world today, when how everything was put in place, and you know, there's God had a vision of what he wanted because it was his attributes that he expressed. And when he put everything in motion and he set it in order the way he wanted it, it was absolute perfection because it was just exactly the way God had it in his mind.
Amen.
And today it still operates the same way.
Amen.
You know, the sun doesn't have to wonder if it's going to come up in the morning.
Right.
The earth doesn't have to worry if it's going to rotate around.
Amen.
You know, we don't have to worry about any of these things. Why? Because there's a law of God. We don't ever have to worry about, are we going to lose gravity and start floating in the air? Why? Because the laws of God are set in motion and we're still walking according to the laws of God. So the thing is I want to ask you a question tonight because, and this is my whole point, is if we are living, if we get out of the bed and we know our feet are going to touch the floor and we're going to walk and we don't have to worry about floating in the air and we don't have to worry about having all of these things that, you know, light and all these other things, the sun and the moon and all these different things and water, you know, all these things that have happened that God created and they still operate under the same laws that God set them in motion. Today, we have to worry about having the same things when we are children of God? Why? Because we are attributes of God. So if the attributes of God are set in motion, then you and I are set in motion. And so the thing is we can rely on that same power, the same anointing that set all that in motion is upon you and I. And so we don't have to worry about, you know, how these things are going to take place. Why? Because if we can just rely on and realize what's inside of us, then you know what? We have overcome. We have that overcoming power. We have everything that we have need of inside of us. And all we have to do is just rely on that. You know, Brother Wade never has to go out and talk to the bees and ask them, y'all got to make honey and try to coax them into doing anything. Why? Because they have a nature of a bee. And that bee nature comes out and they go out and do everything. And you know what? You know how he knows that those bees are working, that they do their thing? Well, it's because he walks out there and he sees the evidence. He sees the fruit of their labor. Why? Because that's who they are. The honey is there. And you know, brothers and sisters, we don't have to try to struggle and strive to be Christians. We don't have to be struggling and strive. Why? Because you know what? It's all in our minds that is the problem. But you know, as he set everything in the laws of God in motion, everything was set in order and everything was perfect. Then you know what? It's still the same laws of God. And we know how Satan, you know, she become, you know, a little wishy-washy on the word. You know, she began to question God's authority, what God had said. You know, she got that in her mind, and we know how the fall took place.
Yeah.
And how everything came about. But you know, the thing is God made a way that when all of that took place, there was a way back. There was a way back that we don't, you know, because in the fall, and we still live in that fallen condition, but yet there's a way back that's been made. You know, that we have the overcoming power that we can come back and be where we need to be. Exactly the way God wanted us to be. Many people are looking back, and you know, because we look at what God has said and what God put in place. Well, you know, the laws of God never change. And the thing is there's nothing that's ever happened in the world. Even the fall didn't take God by surprise. You know, there's nothing that's ever come against him, that's ever hindered him, that's ever, you know, shocked him, that stumbled him. Well, you know what, brothers and sisters, if we are of the same nature, if we're under the same power, then why do we allow things to stumble us? Why do we allow things to beset us? Why do we allow things to hinder us? Why? Because we've been given this power. If we look here, Jesus says, you know, because he says, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And you know, and Revelation talks about, you know, him being kicked out. You know, he was defeated a long time ago when he decided, you know, I'm going to raise myself up and I'm going to be like the Most High. And you know, I'm going to draw a third of the angels to myself and I'm going to be like the Most High, but he wasn't going to be the Most High because he never could. That's the reason he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. Right. But he said, I'm going to be this way. And he said, I'm going to raise up. And you know, he wanted to go contrary to God's word and everything you tried to do. So all he could do was just try to hinder the work of God.
Right.
And you know, but you know, even from the beginning when he saw that when him and Michael fought in heaven and you know, he was cast out, you know, he was already defeated.
Right.
And you know, it says that he was a defeated foe, and yet he's still causing problems. And you know what? People are still listening to him, and still people are still allowing him to work.
Right. Yeah.
Brother Bram said that, and Satan's Eden, he said he had 6,000 years to God spent 6,000 years to create a perfect Eden, a great garden that he put man over.
Amen.
He put man in charge of. He gave him control of everything.
Amen.
And you know, he had dominion over it. He had dominion. And yet, when he fell away, you know what? God didn't do away with him. God made a way back. Because he knew that he would fall and brought him back, and it's trying to bring him back, the sons of God, back to the place where they always should have been. Y'all pray for me. I feel like I got a frog in the throat. But you know, here it is, where we have this. All of 6,000 years that God set everything in order, and just to prove to Satan, you know, he's allowed Satan to have 6,000 years to do the exact opposite of what God done. He spent 6,000 years trying to pervert exactly what God created. Because in a perfect Eden, in a perfect atmosphere, having perfect power over everything, Eve fell. By disbelieving the word, and Adam walked away, walked away from his position, and then everything fell, and it's been in this condition, and Satan's had a free reign over everything for 6,000 years. But you know, he said in 6,000 years, Satan's tried to take over everything and hinder everything and make it just the perfect way. But you know, in all of these 6,000 years and all that he's tried to do and all that he's done and all of that has been this perfect Satan's Eden, you know, the one thing is he still can't get the bride to fall.
Right.
You know, even in all the midst, why? Because Eve fell in a perfect condition. But you know what? Here we are in an imperfect condition.
That's right.
Well, it's every, you know, every gun, every weapon, every spirit, every demon in all of hell is against the bride,
right.
Is against the truth.
Amen.
But you know, Brother Brown said, he's going to prove to Satan that this Eve won't be like the first Eve.
Right.
This Eve will stand on the word.
Right.
We will stand. Why? Because we have the overcoming power.
Right.
You know, if you have the life of God in you, you know, that's the reason it's so important to have the new birth, to be born again.
Amen.
But you know, the thing is if you're born again, you know, then to realize who you are.
Amen. Right.
You know, I was at Sunday morning, we were at Brother Josh Bennett's church, and Brother Richie was preaching there, and said to tell everybody hello, but, you know, there were some people that I've known for many years that go to church there. I went to church with them many years ago. Well, you know, the one brother, he said, he kept looking at me. He was a song leader. He was standing up at the front. We were in the back, and he kept looking at me. He kept trying to figure out who I was. He kept saying, you look familiar. Well, he's like some other folks, you know, their vision ain't great. But when he walked out of the church, he exactly knew who I was. Since when he got inside of me, he knew exactly who I was. Well, he was talking to this other brother that's known me for a long time. And this other brother, and he said, well, I knew exactly who he was as soon as I got close enough to see him, because he looks like his dad. He said, you can't deny who he is. And the other brother says, well, you know, if you look at him, he said, you can't deny who he is. He said, but the other brother said, if you just talk to him just for a few minutes, you'll know who he is.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I didn't have to do that.
Right.
I was born.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I was born a Roberts. Good, bad, or indifferent. That's who I am.
Yeah.
I can't change that. But you know what? I don't have to get up in the morning and try to comb my hair and have this gray hairstyle. Why? Because it just happened. I got a really wide part. But you know, I didn't have to do that. I don't have to get up in the morning and practice how I talk.
Right.
I don't have to look a certain way. This physique just happened.
Right.
I inherited it. It did. But you know what? When people look at me, they know who my father is.
Right.
Why? Because I have the genetics of my father.
Amen.
And I manifest the genetics of my father.
Amen.
Well, you know what? It's the same way with a child of God.
Glory.
You know what? Because if you have the genetics of the child of God, if you are God made manifest, then you know what? You don't have to struggle to be God, to manifest God, to be who God made you to be. Why? Because it's inside of you. Why? Because it's just like Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, a child of God can't wait to get to church.
Right.
You know what? A child of God reads the Bible. A child of God prays.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I can tell by looking at you, I don't see any of you that's missed many meals. That's right. More rest of you. We went out to eat with Brother Richie the other morning, and he just kept eating and eating. And what I didn't eat, I gave to him, and he ate. He put away food. But you know, the thing is you know what? We don't, it's like if you're thirsty, you know, people sit around, wish I had something. I wish I knew what to do. Oh, if somebody had some idea what to do. You know what? You don't have that problem.
No.
When you're hungry, I don't see people sitting around just complaining about it. Complaining about it. Complaining about it. You know, everybody right now, if you just say the word food, everybody gets a thought in their mind. They got some, it's not the word food, it's some food item is in your mind.
Amen.
That's what you're thinking of.
Amen.
There you go, crab legs. See, as soon as you say the word food, something comes into somebody's mind. Mine was chocolate. Brother Richie's mom, Sister Christine, she's 93 years old. That's all she lives on is chocolate. She found out years ago this lady lived over 100 years old, and they asked her what her secret of longevity was. She said, I eat a piece of chocolate every day. Sister Christine cut that out and put it on her wall. She got a sign in her house that says, don't let me fall in love, let me fall in chocolate. That's all she lives for is chocolate. 93 years old. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. But let me tell you something. You know, you meet people like that. Here's a lady that you listen to her testimony, all the things that's happened in her life. You know what? She's one of the happiest people in the whole wide world. She got hardly anything, but you know what? She was praying one day and she said, Lord, I want to a cabinet in my kitchen. She said, I had some dishes and stuff. She said, I wanted a light blue one. Now she's got pictures of it and she'll show you. She said, I want this cabinet in my kitchen. And she said, she went to pray and she went in a thrift store and there was a light blue kitchen cabinet in the thrift store. When she went in, she said, thank you, Lord, that's mine.
Amen.
She wanted pillows to go on her couch, and she's got pictures of them. She took a picture of them and put in an album, and she went to the store, and she found exactly what she was looking for. And people think, you know, it's so hard. It's so hard. We got to struggle and strive. No! The Christian life is just as easy a life to live as any other kind of life. But you know what? We allow the devil to talk us that it's so hard to live a Christian life. And everything is so hard and it's so difficult. And it's so easy if we just realize what's on the inside of us and rely on that. If we could just rely on the life that's on the inside of us. Brother Branham said that all that we had need of in this Christian journey was given to us in the new birth. Everything has been given to you. You have been equipped for this journey, for every battle and every situation. He said the only thing you've got to do is drink in and push out. It's inside of you if you can realize that it's on the inside of you. You know, it's such a great thing to understand, to realize that we are who we are, you know, that we are children of God,
Amen.
That we are God made manifest in flesh, upon, descending upon this earth.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make us any great person or any great thing, but it's a humbling experience to realize what God has done for you. But you know what? If God has called us to this, then it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to live the life that God called us to. Not to live below our privileges. Not to live below what God has called us to. God called us to a position. For us to be fortified. To be overcomers. So we have to be what God has called us to be. This is from Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed. Brother Bram says, heavenly places. Oh, I wish I had time. Here I've got it marked right here in my Bible about heavenly places. What is heavenly places? Just for a moment. The believer's position in Christ. See, where the believer stands in Christ in heavenly places. He says, according as he has chosen us. Listen close, listen. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. When his great hidden mystery, his great secret. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. And what? Love. Having what? Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestinated. There's the mystery. He, before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see his great mystery that he chose the bride, knowing Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold to that word regardless of what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold to that word. They are predestinated to stand there, the adoption of children by Christ Jesus, predestinated the church to that great glorious stand. So we are called to this. And you know, as I spoke one time before, you know, to understand, you know, this great mystery that God had. And you know, all the way down through the Old Testament and everything, you know, God was unveiling himself. But you know, it was a secret to people. It was a secret. People didn't realize what was taking place. And he said, you know, because if, like I said, a secret is something people, when people say, I got a secret. Well, you ain't got a secret anymore. You got a mystery. As soon as you begin to speak of it, it's not a secret anymore. A secret is something that you don't know and you don't know anybody knows anything. But as soon as you began to speak, because that's what the Old Testament's prophets began to do, they began to speak about it. Right. And that became the mystery. Uh-huh. Right. Amos 3, when it speaks about the mystery that he made through by known by his prophets. So they become a mystery. But see, the mystery is what had to be revealed. Right. You know, because if you had never seen, just like I believe it was Lewis and Clark on their expedition, you know, years ago, they had a black man with them. Well, the Indians, I believe it was Lewis and Clark on their expedition, you know, they were going, the Indians had never seen a black man before. And when they walked up there and they saw that black man, they were so amazed by him that they said, they took his arm and kept looking at him. They were amazed and they kept rubbing on his arm trying to get the black off of him. They were so amazed. To realize that there was a black man. Yeah. Well, you know, the secret was that they never saw a black man, so that was a secret. That was never nothing ever known about that. Right. But the mystery become when he become visible to them, and it became to be known, and all of a sudden, then there was something that was so shocking to them that this actually existed. Yeah. And then when they began to look and check this man out because they were so amazed by it. Then it became known to them. And so that's the way it was in the Old Testament. See, when Jesus came in flesh, when he began to speak, he went back to the Old Testament and told them and said, do I not fulfill? Look.
Right.
He said, if you can accuse me of sin, look and see if I don't fulfill the Old Testament scriptures. Uh-huh. He said, because they speak of me.
Right.
He said, is this not what I've come to do? Now see, there was a lot of scriptures that was spoke of and people just talked over and some doubted. And you know, they had all these different ideas about things, how it was going to take place. And when it became to take place, they didn't recognize it. Why? Because it didn't come the way they expected it to. But when he stepped out there and he began to speak, and then he kept telling them, this is the fulfillment of those scriptures. And you and I, we're the same way. We're the fulfillment of scripture. Many times people, you know, Brother Branham said one time, he said, will the bride have a ministry in the last days? He said, yes. He said, it consists of apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers. He said, it's going on right now.
Right.
This is the bride's ministry.
Right.
But everybody thinks, well, you know what? Well, it's hands off. Because, you know, unless you're the fivefold ministry, the bride don't have a ministry. Well, we're just going to put it on the fivefold ministry. There you go.
No.
And then you got these people over here. They're like, well, you know what? We stay away from the fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
We shy away from them. But you know what? Every believer, every person, every member of the body of Christ has a ministry.
Amen.
God didn't call, you know, as Paul talks about the body, you know, there's a body that has a function. You know, you have, your body has a problem. You know what? Your whole body knows about it.
Yeah, right, sure.
I had to have a tooth removed a couple of weeks ago and they had to do a bone graft. You know, and somebody thought I got hit. Kind of fat cheek there.
Yeah.
But you know what? I knew about it. My whole body knew about it. I had one tooth that bothered me, but you know what? It felt like my whole head sometimes was, and it bothers, you know, it bothers your whole body.
Yeah.
And you know, it's the same way with you and I, because you know, we are body, that we're a body ministry, and people say, well, you know, what can I do? You know, well, I'm not a singer. I'm not a song leader. I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. Well, you know, the thing is everybody has to find their position. And you know, the problem is a lot of people, they question that, but you know what they don't ever do? They don't ever go to God and say, what can I do? They don't ever go to God and say, Lord, what is my job to do? You know, there's one thing, as of this weekend and talking to a number of different people, you know, there's one thing, if you can't do anything, there's one thing that I know all of you can do, and Brother Branham says we don't do enough of it, and that's pray. And you know, and it's not just praying for our church, but it's praying for the whole body of Christ, because the whole body of Christ is needing prayer. There's so many people that need prayer. And you know, the thing is we think we gotta have money, or we gotta have talent, or we gotta have skills, or we gotta have this or that. You know what we need? We need to set aside some time in our life just to get before God and pray, and pray for God to do something in our lives and do something for somebody else. You know, many times if we get out of our own way and quit thinking about all our problems and all the things that we have to deal with, and start looking at what doing something for somebody else, then you know what? We come to find out our problems ain't as big as everything else. People sit around and, you know, as Brother Jewel Forney, I got to see Brother Jewel Sunday afternoon, you know, wowsy, wowsy, woo, you know, we're all just so bad, so poor, so pathetic. You know, sometimes you get around people and come to find out, you know, people are rejoicing, and you know, they're up and going, and you know what you can do? You don't even realize the battles that they're fighting, and you know what? They got a spring in their step, they got joy in their heart, they got a song, they got everything, and you know what? And some people, they got some little problem, and you know, and they're all the way down, and they can't get up, and you know, they got all kinds of problems. You know, there's people, you know, they're climbing up mountains, and you know what? They're singing the victory song, and they ain't got one kind of problem. They ain't got one little, you know, thing that's standing in their way. And some people, they can't get over ant hills.
Yeah. That's right, brother. Amen. That's right.
They got all kind of little problems. Like sign said, takes 90 gallons of water to baptize a person. Takes one drop of rain to keep them out of church. You know, people all, you know, some people, they gotta try to find excuses or some kind of thing. They let everything, well, you know, when you start looking at people in the scripture, you know, the one thing that we're supposed to do is keep our eye on the word. And you start looking at the people, all the things that they went through in the Bible. Well, we don't know. You know, because I wake up in the morning and sometimes when I'm on the roof and I'm working all day, I feel like I've been in a furnace. But you know what? There were three boys that actually got thrown in a fire. I ain't never been thrown in a fire. But sometimes I feel like it. But you know what? You know, they went in and said, you know, our God's more than able. And if we get killed, he throws us in and we die. You know, we still won't bow. We're still going to hold to the word of God. And we think about all the different problems that we have. Why? Because we don't have necessarily the pressures and the things that they have. But why? Because why? We just, Satan's come along, we're in Satan's Eden, Satan's rocking everybody to sleep, it's all easy, just smooth sailing. You know, it's all just so easy. You know, there's a man at, I believe it was Stanford University, his last name's Fogg, Dr. Fogg. I thought it was really interesting what his last name is. Some of y'all probably know about this. You know, he was into what they call persuasive studies. And you know, persuasive studies, and he has this whole lab that's dealing with all this type of technology. And it's all about phones and computers and all this kind of stuff. And you know, it's how they can use psychologists and neuroscientists and all this. And their whole job is to make the digital and social media just sucks you right in. It's your prison. You just get bound by this thing. And you know, people think, well, you know, it's all right, you know, because here you got people that have children that, you know, that are 11, 12 years old, sometimes as young as 6 or 8 years old, and they get, you know, the first thing they get is a laptop, a computer, a tablet, some kind of video game, and they stay in that video game until they're 30 years old. And when they get 30 years old, they still ain't never accomplished nothing. They can't do anything. Why? Because all they can do is live in that video world and live into that 3D and that and the virtual reality, and they have no way of doing in the real world. They can't function in the real world. And that's what this man's, his whole job was technology on how to get people addicted to this stuff. And you know, this man was so good that one of his students started Instagram, and they got like some weird number, like 800 million people on Instagram. And you know, there's kids out there that have a tablet, and you know, they're all the time on their phone, and you know, they almost walk out into the street, run into walls, trip over stuff. Why? Because they can't get off of their phone. They're like this all the time. And you know, some people they get up in the morning and it's like, well, you know what? I didn't get as many likes as this other person over here, and I can't, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do because, you know, they got 800 likes on their picture and I didn't. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to function today. I don't even know if I'll be able to get out of bed. You get somebody and it's like, hey, they got 895 and I got 915. And they're like, woo. They're up and going. Hey, you know what? I beat that person. You know what? They everybody piling up gold in a virtual reality world. You can't function, can't get a job. But you know what? It just sucks them right in. Their whole life revolves around this. And it's all about instant gratification. And you know, and it's like, you know, you people don't know how to function in the real world when you try to talk to them about Christ, you know, about having eternal life and everything. And you know, it's like, well, you know, I pulled up the salvation app here and there was a little green box right here and a red box right here. And it says, do you accept Jesus as your savior? And I clicked the green yes box. I'm saved.
Come on, brother.
I'm looking for the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Where's the Holy Ghost app?
That's the third app.
But everybody just thinks that's the way it is. We just, there we go. I got it.
Yeah.
And you know what? And people wonder why, you know, people are so bound by everything. Why? Because they have no way of functioning to the place that, you know what, you hold on until you get what you deserve, what you're desiring. Because, you know, it doesn't matter if it takes one day, it takes 10 years, it takes 20 years, because if God said, if He made a way for you to, if His word says for you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, He said, for this promise is unto you and your children and to them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Well, if it would take one day, it takes 3.5 years, it takes 33 years, you just hold on, because He's obligated to give you the Holy Ghost. But the people don't want to wait. People don't want to search, and they don't want to seek. No, they just want to say, I believe Brother Branham to be a prophet, and I got my belt buckle, and I got my books on the shelf, and I got my app on the phone here that says message on it.
Yeah. That's
But you know what it takes? It takes a dying out. It takes a death, and it takes your death to die into your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own circumstances, everything, and looking right to the Word of God and taking what He says. We don't want to get on the altar of God. We don't want God to kill us. Why? Because we want a little bit of ourselves still along. You know, the thing is if people want to look and, because you know what, God can never bless a ministry if you got somebody that has a little bit too much of themselves in it.
Right. Amen.
Who was it? Spurgeon or whoever said, you know, God never turns you away empty unless you're full of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is you've got to be completely empty of yourself.
Right.
Many people, Brother M said, what gets ministers? He said, money, women, and popularity.
Right.
Why? Because it's them getting in the way of God's work.
Right.
He said, you've got to be humble.
Right.
You know what amazes me is when Brother Branham said, the angel of the Lord, you know, here he is. He's fasting. He's praying. He's spending hours praying for people. He's praying all night long. People come to his house and he has prayer meeting at his house. He said, you know, he tries to get a little bit of sleep. He goes away, tries to hunt and fish and get a little break. And you know what? Even then, he's got brothers that are coming to him and he's still seeing visions and he's still telling them things and he's going all these, and God's still talking to him and telling him about things that need to be taken care of and things to take, to do later. An angel of the Lord tells him, said, you need to be more sincere. I read that all the time, and you know what? It blows my mind. Lord, I don't know how much more sincere can you get. But you know what? Brother Branham never questioned the angel of God on that. I hadn't found one place where he said, what am I supposed to do? Have y'all ever found that? If somebody does, y'all show it to him. But every single time I've ever seen where Brother Branham brings that up, he says, Lord, let me be more humble.
Right. Amen.
Let me be more sincere. I don't know how much more sincere you can get. But he has that mentality, Lord, just let me be more like you. It boggles my mind. And that's the way you and I, we ought to be. Let us be more sincere, Lord. Let us be more like you. Let us be what we need to be. Because we have to be what He has us. He wants us to be. Praise the Lord. I got away from my notes, so. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, because, you know, many times you get up here and you think, well, I'm gonna say this and I want to say that, and you write everything down, and all of a sudden the Lord comes and you start talking about other things. It's like, well, we'll just skip all that, you know. But you know, I want to be what He wants me to be. Because, you know, because if we have the overcoming power, and you know, that's the biggest hindrance that Aaron Roberts has is Aaron Roberts. And I got more of him than a lot of other y'all got.
Amen.
But you know, I have the overcoming power to overcome.
Amen.
We have the overcoming power to overcome. To be what God has called us to be. Can we overcome? God has made us and given us a pathway to overcome.
Right.
Brother Bram says here, he says, it's by one spirit. He said, we're all baptized into one body in the domain of that kingdom. One spirit, spiritual baptism. No matter how good, how bad, whatever, we're in the kingdom by Holy Ghost baptism. See, that's the only way you overcome. It's all that is under the shed blood is overcomers, because you cannot overcome yourself. It's He that overcome for you.
Amen.
Says you're resting. How will I know then, Brother Branham, when I'm in there? Watch what kind of life you're living. Just look around. See if it's just lived out of you automatically. Or if you have to strain and pull, see, then you're not doing it. But you don't try to do it. Did you ever try? Yeah, don't. He said in the days of Daniel's time, there were four overcomers that could stand the test of fire and lion. Now we're expected to be tested. That's a good lesson for my brother back there also. He that cometh to God must first be tested. Tested what? With the word. That's God's test. Do you believe? He said, do you believe it? Congregation says, amen. He that cometh to God must be tested. That only shows a true child then, see, be tested. And when the test comes on, you can't overcome unless there's a test give to you. And when test is given, it's to see whether you can overcome or not. Jesus said to him that overcometh the test is the greatest thing that ever happened to you. I believe it's written in the scripture. Peter said, our trials are worth more to us than precious gold. It's a testing time. It's one good evidence to us that God is with us when we're tested. For all children of God are tested and tried. Jesus told us, how to do it. He overcome. Means how overcome means to stand the test. That's right. Like all the old saints did, like Jesus did, amidst of all his enemies, he stood the test. Everything he was tested against, he stood against. He said in the very face of sickness and him being Messiah, he healed them. In the face of death, he brought him back to life. In the face of Calvary, his own death, he defeated by surrendering himself. Why? By the word said, you destroy the temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. The word said so. See, in the presence of death, he defeated, he overcome death. In the presence of hell, he defeated hell and overcome hell. Yes, in the presence of the grave, he overcome the grave. Why? All by the word and humility. Oh my, there's the real man. There's the one to make your example. See, he defeated everything, overcome it. Look, temptation was for him. You know what? The Bible said he was tempted in all points like a man, like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted by drinking. He was tempted by women. He was tempted by everything that could be tempted by. He was tempted by everything that we are. He was a man, and yet you couldn't put a mark on him. Yes, sir. Overcome means to recognize the devil and every one of his tricks. A lot of people say there is no devil. It's just a thought. Don't you believe that? There's a real devil, and he's just as real as you are. Anybody. A real devil, and you must recognize him real. You must know he's a devil. Then the same time, you must recognize him and know that he is a devil and he's against you. Then to overcome, you must recognize that the God in you is greater and mightier than he is, that the one that's in you has already overcome him, and by his grace, you are more than a match for him. Amen. That's real overcoming when you recognize. Amen. God called us to give us overcoming power, and he called us to recognize all of the powers of the enemy. And he called us to overcome. And you know, I want to share one little thought with you. I was reading the other night, and I thought it was so good. I put it in my notes. You know, Brother Brown was speaking on in demonology. He's talking about, he said, if you know what a devil is, he said, the English word for a devil is a tormentor.
Right.
He said, he come to torment you.
Yeah.
He come to bring problems and oppose you and everything he come against you with. And you know, and that's what he come to do is to torment you.
Right.
And you know, what did the devils come when they spoke to Jesus? When Jesus come, what did they say? Why did you come to torment me? He come to torment you, but you know what? Jesus come, they said the same thing. So why did you come to torment us? You know what? Because they, Brother Ram said, when a devil is subject to you, he said he knows it.
Right.
He recognizes the power of God.
Sure.
When Jesus spoke to the disciples in Matthew 16, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, well, you're Elijah, one of the prophets.
Yep.
You know, one of them, whoever, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, whoever. But then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am?
Right.
And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven.
Amen.
And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
You know, if you look up the word gates, I was reading this commentary. They were talking about, you know, the gates, you know, does anybody really know what the word gates in that English, in the English translation meant? It means a pathway. It means a channel. Just like a gate goes through a fence, you have to have a pathway, and that's what a gate was for. There was a channel that was pushed, that was there, and he said, and that gate, that pathway, and you know, there's many different ways of translating that, but most of the time we think of gates as the power, the authority, the strength of hell can't prevail against you, but it also means a channel or a pathway.
Yeah.
Well, then you know what? There's no pathway.
Right.
There's no way that the devil has to you. Oh, he's got a punch coming to you.
Sure.
He's got a way to get to you. He can get through you in your five senses. But according to the scripture, there's not a pathway that he takes against you that he can prevail over you.
Right.
It also means that a gate, one of the translations for that also means it's something that hinders you. What do? You put up a gate, you can't get in. You can't go any further than where the gate is. You reach a pathway, there's a gate there. You know what? There's no other way to go. There's a gate there. So the gates of hell will stop you. But he said the gates of hell can't stop you. It can't prevail. It can't stop your path. And the other way of translating that means a boundary. If they put you in prison, how do you get in? Through a gate.
Yeah.
So you know what? The gates of hell can't prevail against you.
Right.
So whatever he tries to bind you with, whatever the devil comes and puts on you,
right,
that you're bound by, then you know what? He come to make the captives free.
Yeah.
So you know what? The gates of hell can't bind you. They can't oppose you. They can't hinder you.
Right.
Why? Because he said the revelation of the word came to defeat all the powers of the enemy. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. That's what I believe. That is my confession. That the gates of hell can't stop me.
Right.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. I'm going to sing. I want to sing another little song. I don't think we've sung this in a while, but this one came to me earlier today. I think it's in the
think it's in the Key of G's, number 29 in the spiral book. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight.
Amen.
Amen. That's what, because we have overcoming power to overcome all the powers of the enemy. There's nothing that can come against you that you're not more than a conqueror through Him.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by this world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. Yes, I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. And strive. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. Yes, I will hasten to Him.
Hasten so glad and free.
Set me, still will I enter in, for I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee, and I am resolved. And who will go with me, comforts without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Yes, I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free.
Praise the Lord. Amen. What you got next, brother?
What about He abides?
He abides. Amen.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in a lock my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides in me. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk
for the Comforter abides me. Once my heart was full of sin, once had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. And the angel so sweet, now the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides in me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk there away, for the Comforter abides in me. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. For the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides in me. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk there away. Comforter abides in me. There's no thirsting for the things of this world. They've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day. All my burdens roll away. Now the Comforter abides in me. He abides, he abides. Away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hear the Savior's earnest call. Jesus, the light of the world. Send the gospel truth to all. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
I just want to say, I don't mind. I hope Sister Trudy don't mind me saying this. But she said, Brother Tom's lost his wedding band and they've been looking for it. And so she wanting prayer for that. And you know, she said it sounded like a silly thought. But you know what? God's mindful of every little thing in your life.
Amen.
And I just want to tell you, Sister Trudy, Brother Billy Paul tells of a story. Him and Sister Lois was walking on the beach one time, and she lost her wedding bands, and they walked a long distance. And he walked back through there, and he told God, he said, I don't know where we've been. But he said he knelt down in the sands and started praying. And because Brother Branham had the same thing, you know, things similar in his life. And he said he got to praying while he was in the sand. And he said he stuck his hand down in the sand like this and scooped it up. And there were Sister Lois's wedding bands.
Amen.
I was working one time, working in a place where we done robotic welding. Had robots that done the welding. We just had big jigs. We just set them up and put the parts in. Robots welded and you just pulled the parts out, put the parts in, locked it down. Hit the go button and the robot's done all the welding. Well, he's missing a jig. One of the big jigs that held all the parts. And we had these racks just, I mean, they were 8 feet tall, just all the way down through part of the building. Had all those jigs down through there. And people climbing on top of those racks, looking everywhere for it. Was missing one jig. And they looked all over the top of them things. People combed air. And they said, it ain't over there. And I turned to the wall. And I started praying. I said, Lord, you know we need to find that jig, and I don't know where it's at. And I turned around, and it was just like something coming out of me. And I just walked to a certain rack, and I climbed up on top of it, and it sat right in the middle of that rack. And I picked it up, and I said, here you go.
Yeah.
And people said, well, we're just looking for that. We were just there. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know.
Amen.
So, Sister Trudy, don't you worry. You'll find it.
Amen.
I was going to say that Harry gave me a necklace our first Christmas together, and he called it the trinket. And I lost it several years back when I left Keller, while I was still at Keller, and I couldn't find it. I had to turn my house upside down. I looked at every box, went through everything, couldn't find it. And especially about a year before he started getting worse. And I looked and looked and looked, and Friday, we were moving some boxes for Rebecca to get some stuff out, and I moved another box, and I looked, and I said, what is that? And there it was.
Amen. There's nothing that my God can't do. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight before we leave. Bible study Saturday. And, yes. And I just want to say, remember Brother Jewel Forney. He'll be. I talked to him Sunday afternoon at Brother Tim Hume's. We went to church there, and one of the young brothers from Brother Tim's church preached. But Brother, you know, some of you know, some of you don't know. Brother Jill hadn't preached in like 3 months. And Sunday morning was the first time he preached because he was scheduled to go to Phoenix. So he's supposed to go to Phoenix this Sunday, but Brother Tim wanted him to preach at home. So he preached Sunday morning, and I got to spend some time with him. So y'all remember Brother Tim, or Brother Jill, he's really been fighting a battle. And I told him, I said, well, that's the thing, because Brother Jill does such a good job. The Lord uses him, and the devil wants to fight you. But I told him, I said, don't you worry, we'll be praying for you. So y'all remember Brother Jill Sunday morning, because I don't know what, I assume he'll leave Saturday to go to Phoenix. So, Lord, be mindful of each one. And there's many different ones. And, you know, if you go through something, Brother Bram said you can enter in because you know what it's like to be there. You know, it's different ones, and just pray for each one. And I know the ones that are not here and the different needs, but God's mindful. And I'm so glad that we have one that we can go to with our problems and our requests and our needs, and we don't have to bear them all alone. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We're going to ask Brother Larry if he don't mind dismiss us in prayer, brother. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend.